There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Makadi is here. Just briefly, I wanted to mention this again. There's a great deal of excitement about the final big quiz at Barasti.
Yes, there is.
Chris Makadi, Sports Tonight. NLT's been rattling on about this. I know she was there last night, and I understand it. But the grand prize is going to go to 6 lucky winners. You're going to head off, if you win, to Kuala Lumpur for the Formula One Grand Prix. Now, the Eid break, of course, is happening, so it's been brought forward a day, hasn't it?
The final round.
So Tuesday, what's that, 29th?
Yes, correct, Tim, right. Yes. We've been running around like headless chickens this afternoon, ensuring that everyone is across this, because an awful lot of teams have given an awful lot of time, effort and expense to be there the past 7 weeks. So, yeah, it's been brought forward by 24 hours, so it will be next Tuesday evening. It is the finale, and at the end of the 8th week, the 8th edition of the quiz, we will be sending one lucky team, or at least we'll be handing over the tickets to one lucky team for the Malaysian Grand Prix.
It is open at the moment. It's not a foregone conclusion.
It's not.
And we've had a late surge from one team in particular, Rock and Roll Kids, and you know they're doing really, really well. So, you know, Roy Keane are looking a bit nervous. Rotherham Rocket seem well out of it now, and Edgedon dropped. Big fans of your show. They've been there every week, always second.
Yeah.
Or in my grudge story, always a bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really close, but there's still quite a lot to play for. And, you know, we're still having 16 teams turning up each week, even at this stage. So it's going really, really well. But, yeah, just to let people know, one day earlier.
Yes, exactly. 24 hours earlier. And I should point out as well, we've probably got 5 teams still in with a chance, but there is prizes on the night as well. So if you're new to this sporting quiz, if you want to just test your knowledge, who knows, if you want to get some brownie points on the last one, you could be the champions at least on the night, then still pop on down. That is next Tuesday, 8 p.m. start. We welcome you all down there to Barasti. It is the finale. It is maybe not the finale long term. Talks are being had, but it is the finale.
Really? Can you inform us?
There's just been an awful lot of interest. Myself and Robbie, we spoke to some of the punters down there last night, and there seems to be a groundswell that this is a movement that we need to continue. So watch the space on that one.
Really? A bit like the Luddites, maybe.
Indeed.
Smashing machines, a bit like that. Okay. As long as we get that sorted out. Do you know what I really like? When you come into the sport, it's always right. Don't forget there's this and this. And normally, something has happened, and you say, oh, I've got to tell you about this as well. So we thought we'd turn the tables today. So I said to NLT as you walk in, don't forget we're going to bring the neuroscience story into the sport. Chris's face was a picture.
He's like, what? Neuroscience? First of all, encroaching on my sports time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's neuropsychology. Fine. But actually, it relates very closely to something that you're following extremely closely, the big farce. And this is why, according to science, that Floyd Mayweather will be victorious. Is that?
Yes, so obviously lots of talk about the fight happening early hours of Sunday morning for us here. But, you know, the two guys are in Vegas getting ready to get the fight on. And basically science has come in, the whole body of science as a whole. But neuroscientists are saying, look, there is no way on this earth that Floyd Mayweather will lose, because there's quite a few reasons. If you look at the fast reactions of sports professionals, you know, it's lots of short movements, lots of muscle memory, lots of brain power that they're using. And basically, over the time of practicing any sport, you think about a serve in tennis, you learn those muscle movements, you learn that memory. And boxing in particular, let me get this right, it's about not just being fast and having good reflexes, but it's the rapid movements and the rapid changing environments. So in boxing, it's things like how your feet are positioned, the hips, the shoulders, and it's how you process that information. And as much as Conor McGregor might be a decent fighter and he can turn around and react quickly, he can never compete with Mayweather's memory and the ability to make those split second decisions without even he's already anticipating the next punch before it's being swung. So science says McGregor's got no chance.
And I'm nodding furiously here because I completely agree with science. Who are we to argue against science? Just to add to that, and I think Floyd Mayweather, there was a lot of rhetoric. I must say, last night's press conference in Las Vegas, far less unedifying as the previous press conferences. A lot more respect on show last night. Floyd Mayweather, it pains to point out that Conor McGregor can give it. Can he take it? That is the biggest thing. And I think this comes down to what will happen on Sunday. Conor McGregor has never, ever in his MMA career received the types of shots he will receive from Floyd Mayweather, the greatest exponent of the mastery that is boxing in history, arguably. And I think that is what it's going to come down to. Floyd Mayweather pretty much knows what's coming his way come Sunday morning. Conor, on the other hand, does not. And I think that is the reason why, and I've said it on Business Breakfast this morning, it will be, make no mistake, the biggest shock in sporting history.
But there
if
are,
Connor wins this fight.
I mean, people are still divided. We're having these arguments still over and over, and we did actually manage to get some fans who were outside the MGM in Las Vegas, and they decided, this is Tim, we've got a few fans here who've decided who they think are going to win.
Here we go. Have a listen to this.
Connor's going to be using about one-sixth of his sort of skill set, so it's really like he's got a couple of hands and a leg tied behind his back, so I think he's the more all-round fighter, but in boxing terms, it's Mayweather's, in my opinion.
I think Mayweather. I think he'd be too quick, and it's in his niche, I guess you could say.
He's the money man. He's the champion. He's going to be 50-0, no doubt about it.
I'm going for Connor, man. I just think he brings so much. And Mayweather, you know, he's got that boxing down, but I think Connor just has so much to his skill that Mayweather's not counting on. And
do you know what? I'd be very surprised. I'd be really surprised if this doesn't happen, that Conor McGregor throws some kind of illegal move in there, a kick, because his conditioning is so MMA rather than boxing. That kind of worries me a bit, and that would be, I guess, Chris, a disqualification.
Yeah, it would be, and it's an assertion that I've got to say, I've got a lot of friends who believe that that will indeed happen, that Conor is going to grow frustrated and that he will throw in an illegal move. Now, I've heard, it is unconfirmed, I have heard that there is a clause in his contract that if he does do that, he will be hit where it matters with regards to Conor McGregor, and that is in the wallet, in the pocket, because he may well come in for a huge fine from his purse if he does indeed go through with something like that. But interesting listening to that. That is where I applaud Conor McGregor. The fact that it is polarising so much opinion, the fact that so many people out there think he can win, he is the ultimate salesman. He has done an absolute number on this. Those of you that follow boxing closely will know, though, he's got no chance.
It's an insult to boxing to make a fuss of a match between a debutant and an undefeated champ. It's only money, observes Sir Haye. Maybe so, but I mean, this is the thing. It's grabbing so much attention, and I want to ignore it, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know,
we're all in the same boat, I think, Tim.
Really,
I said
is.
At the start when this fight was announced that it is the Frankenfight. It's what the big farce is, two of just the phrases we've used to describe this fight. But it is something that it lures you in. You have to watch it on Sunday morning. There is a feeling that, you know, I expect it to go the way of Floyd Mayweather. I've stated that numerous times. But there is just, it's how he goes about it. It's the spectacle behind it all means that it is such, or at least it promised to be, such riveting viewing.
I know. Callum's texted and said it's got rematch written all over it. Big money spinner.
Yeah, that's the other side of it, isn't it? It's so lucrative. The commercial possibilities are, I mean, they're basically endless.
And let's make no mistake about it. Conor McGregor, whether he takes a pasting or not, whether he loses this fight on Sunday, he is laughing all the way to the bank. $100 million plus is what he will bank from this fight, given the fact that he was on benefits just 4 years ago over in Ireland. It is a remarkable Cinderella story, whichever way you look at it. And if you were very honest with Conor, if he was sat right here, the mics were turned off and you asked him, does it really matter if you lose on Sunday? Honestly, he'd probably say no.
It's a very good point.
Braver man than me, though, to ask that question to his face.
Yes, good point. And I'd probably be much braver than I am.
I remember when you last took on an MMA fighter. There is video evidence of that, Chris McCarley, let me tell you.
Still got bruises.
Champions League draw. I suppose this is something that's interesting to
yes,
you.
Yes, we will be keeping a very close eye on this one. 8 p.m. this evening, myself and Robbie Greenfield will be on air, so we will be bringing you the draw as it unfolds live. It is the UEFA Champions League group stage draw. I know your boy, Tim, will be glued to a television screen, Dubai 103.8, because big Celtic fan. Liverpool as well, give them due credit as well. Fantastic result, they were very good last night. Their 4-2 win over Hoffenheim. They go through on aggregate by a monumental score, it's got to be said, over the piece. Very, very good from Liverpool. So five English teams, in the hat. Six British teams if you throw in Celtic as well. So we'll be keeping a very close eye on that one. Some big group of deaths will be drawn out, given the fact that Barca and Manchester United, both of which are in pot two.
And some big cricket news coming out of South Africa. AB de Villiers is stepping down as the ODI captain.
He is indeed, yes. Big news today. He is stepping down after 6 years. He has said that it is time for someone else to take the ODI side forward. 33-year-old, one of the most destructive batsmen in world cricket, no doubt about that. There is one caveat, one piece of good news, though, for Proteas fans. He has admitted that he will step back into the test arena. Of course, he sat out the recent series with England. He says he feels refreshed and revived. So on one hand, you're losing him as ODI captain. On the other hand, you're gaining back a man who has scored over 8,000 test runs. So from AB de Villiers' point of view, he feels refreshed and he's ready to come back in all three formats.
He's had a decent go at it, though, as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's
good
done well.
Good few years under
Six
his belt.
Years.
Yeah.
It's time to hand it over. I would imagine Faf du Plessis could come into that now. He's done an okay job, I guess. He's learning all the time in the test arena, and he may well now be the man to lead them in the shorter format of the game.
Oh, I don't know, 33, they need him in tests. What's his average, 50-odd?
Yeah, over 50.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. He is one of, I guess I would put him up there, in the top six batsmen in the world. You look at Virat Kohli, Joe Root, Kane Williamson, you put them in there, and AB's definitely one of those. On his day, there are very few more destructive batsmen than AB de Villiers.
Let's talk cricket here. You had some news about cricket. There's something happening in December here,
yes,
in the UAE.
Yes, big news this afternoon. We are chasing up. Hopefully we will have a spokesperson from Emirates Cricket Board on the line on Sports Tonight this evening. Big news that, the change in cricket is ever growing, ever increasing, because there is talk and there is confirmation that there will be a new event coming to the UAE, a T10. Yes, a T10 event. So just 10 overs each side. It's a cricket match that should be wrapped up within 90 minutes. So think of a football match.
Wow.
Some big names have signed up to this four-day cricketing carnival, is what the press release says. We've got Chris Gayle, we've got Virinder Sehwag, Shahid Afridi, Kumar Sangakkara. So some of the biggest names in the game will be in the UAE from Thursday, December 21st to Sunday, December 24th. So a little Christmas cracker to go with that cricketing carnival.
Nice.
I like the way you put that. But that could work, couldn't it? It'd take you longer to get from here to Sharjah on a bad night. So
you're right,
think about it. I like that a lot. Final thing for you, Chris, fight time. Dean's just texted in. What
good
time
question.
Is the
good question
on?
If you are a cynic like myself, they're going to milk it over there in Las Vegas. They want as many ads playing as possible. It is obviously dependent on the undercard. What is there, 6 or 7 bouts on that undercard? I've got a sneaky feeling. I think it's advertised for about 7:30. You could very well be waiting until 8:30, who knows, even 9 a.m. here in the UAE for this fight to finally start, because they want to milk it, they want to build it up, they want the hype around it. So I would suggest get to your television screen around about 7 a.m. Tell the bosses you're going to be late because you may not be into work until after 10.
Or just plead food poisoning.
Or tell the bosses that you're going to host a party and then attend it anyway.
Nice work, guys. Who would have thought of that one?
Yeah.
There's a question. That's the big fast. Right, Lost Word, you've missed this, haven't you?
I have
been
missed
away
it.
In
I'm ready.
Florida with all that sunshine.
The Last Word.
HSC students taught...
Oh, it's two
Double
words
bottom.
In that, I'm thinking.
Two words, yes. HSC, for anyone who doesn't know, is sort of Australian version of A-levels. So because it's GCSE results today, I wanted to go with some kind of education theme.
Okay, so let's do it once more. Have a think.
The Last Word.
HSC students taught...
I've got two.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
I'm going to go either with sign language or Morse code. She would have done that.
Oh, that's very clever.
I like that. You are all about the communication. This is one of those things. Who would have thought that? Who signed your employment contract?
Not quite sure.
No, nor am I.
If you do have a guess, though, for Last Word, please do text it in to me. And Chris had two. I'm pretty impressed with that. 4001 on the text if you want to get involved in Last Word today.
Fill in the bleep. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.